This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Shaoning and Philip C. It has just gone past 7:35 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 21st of January. And as usual, in about half an hour, we're going to have the breakfast grill. Philip, what's the special today?
So Roshan will be speaking to Haris Arshad, Managing Director of Sime Darby Oils. And Sime Darby Oils is the downstream arm of Sime Darby Plantations, the world's largest palm oil plantation company by planted area. Last year on The Breakfast Grill, we talked about Sime Darby Oils' ambitious plans to play a bigger part in contributing to the overall group's bottom line. But a year later, has that been derailed by the pandemic? And has the ban from the US Customs and Border Protection following allegations of forced labor affected its performance?
Ooh, it's going to be a bit of a KPI check-in, right? Interesting stuff. So do tune in after the 8 a.m. News Bulletin. But in the meantime, I don't think I need to remind anyone, there is a new president of the United States. Yeah. And his name, of course, is Joe Biden. He was sworn in Wednesday afternoon before getting to work. And yes, it has been a rather unusual inauguration, though. It just comes 2 weeks after an attack on the U.S. Capitol. There was also social distancing due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. And President Donald Trump became the first president not to attend his successor's swearing-in since 1868. So for more on this, we're speaking this morning to Mark Rozelle, Dean of the Shah School of Policy and Government at George Mason University. Good morning, Mark. Now, what were the key takeaways from the event, and in particular, of President Biden's remarks?
Well, it was a real transition, I have to tell you. Quite a change happened in Washington, D.C. and the United States today. Joe Biden, I think, struck the right tone for this moment. He talked about the need for the importance of unity in this country at a time when the United States is deeply divided, deeply polarized politically. Some people have suggested we haven't been this divided in this country as much as we are now since the Civil War period in the mid-19th century. Whether an exaggeration or not, the reality is we've gone through a very difficult period of time where Democrats, Republicans are not working together productively. Many perceive that their role in politics is to defeat and vanquish the other side, not to work and compromise with them. And Joe Biden, having served nearly half a century in public life, talked about the importance of sort of the old values of the American Democratic Republic of moderation, toleration, compromise, people working together, not demonizing your opponent, recognizing we have differences of opinion, and that's a strength in our political system. It's perfectly fine to disagree, but we can still work together for the common good. And that was very much the theme of his inaugural address, which I thought hit really the right notes for this particular moment in our history as his predecessor left Washington, D.C. earlier this morning.
Yeah, so the theme, as you said, America United, sits so well with the current challenges the U.S. have in addressing a division. And as you said, Joe Biden really has the experience and the track record of extending his hand across the aisle. Which tools or actions do you think he would take to signify that he's really bipartisan and willing to take an all-encompassing view?
There are issues where Americans can definitely agree and come together. For example, the singular major failure of his predecessor's administration, and that is managing the distribution of vaccines and working with the states in order to get Americans vaccinated, and also just managing the pandemic. Joe Biden has committed that he is going to make this the major focus of the early days of his administration to, as he said, manage the hell out of this crisis, start doing everything that the federal government possibly can do to get this country moving to attack this virus and move beyond it. And that's something where there is a significant consensus in the country that management of this crisis has been absolutely terrible over the past year and that we need to turn a page and do better. There are other issue areas where there is not a great deal of partisan difference. Look at the declining infrastructure in the United States, which has been a problem going on for multiple years. And that's something where Democrats and Republicans both believe something seriously needs to be done. And then in areas such as the economy and the jobs front, he's going to have a lot of support. And also just rebuilding America's credibility in the world. our alliances that are in tatters right now. He's going to have strong support, I think, among many, not only within his party, but enough Republicans in order to be able to govern effectively. Keep in mind, by the way, he has control of Congress. Both houses of Congress now are controlled by the Democratic Party. He doesn't need a lot of Republicans. He needs some Republicans of good faith who believe it's important to move the country beyond polarization and get things done. And with that, he'll be able to do a lot.
And Mark, as we know, Donald Trump is no longer president, but he's certainly not stepping quietly out of the spotlight. I mean, he refused to attend the ceremonies, one way of doing that. But he also pardoned over 100 people on his last day in office. I mean, what do you make of all of this?
Trump has not been a conventional president, as we all know. He has not played by the customary rules or norms of American government and politics. And as a norm breaker, rule breaker in many ways, it's not surprising the way that he left office, refusing to participate in the inaugural ceremony of his successor, refusing to congratulate Joe Biden, refusing to even acknowledge that Joe Biden is the legitimate elected president of the United States. Honestly, I think this is a stain on Donald Trump's historic record that he went out of office in this way. I think Americans would have forgiven and moved beyond a lot of what many people believe were the substantial failures of his presidency had he left with some element of class, had he acknowledged, as all presidents do, the legitimacy of the outcome and helped with the presidential transition and made sure that there was a smooth transition of power. But he did none of those things. And he pardoned friends and cronies and all kinds of people, some rather unseemly folks even. He pardoned at the last minute. It was his parting gesture. He's mad that he lost, and he's not letting it go. It's really sad to see.
So all told, what do you think of Trump? What do you think Trump's lasting legacy will be then?
It's going to be a very mixed, but I think largely negative record historically. Probably historians will say he was among the worst presidents in American history, if not the worst. That'll be a debate that'll go on for years, of course. But when you consider the failure in managing the singular crisis of our country during his presidency, the pandemic, and just how miserably this country has performed in managing that crisis, and the fact that so many of our international alliances are in tatters, I don't think it's going to be a positive record at all for this president.
Thank you for your time. That was Mark Rozelle at George Mason University giving us his views on the new Biden administration and, of course, Trump's legacy. And I think his last few words were very somber indeed, right?
Was it, "I'll be back"?
No, I hope not. But anyway, aside from that, I think Trump has left a very much divided America, very polarized. And just look at the way the country voted. Almost, 73 million for Trump, close to almost 80 million for Biden. It's very, very evenly divided. And I think Biden has started on the right note, which is basically, how do I unite this country once again? Because it is extremely fractured. And, you know, progress cannot be made unless there is a common, kind of a cohesive thing that all Americans are working towards. And it's true. I think that's why he's very clever or focused on vaccine and COVID-19, because everybody wants a recovery.
And infrastructure. And the point also about going to the States and making sure we get things done there will probably earn him a lot of brownie points and also the momentum to drive execution. Talking about the point of unity, the biggest division I see happening now is within the Republican Party. So how will the Republicans organize themselves with a lot of diehard Trump supporters there, but a lot of the Republican leadership, Liz Cheney, Mitch McConnell, beginning to break away from Donald Trump? Will the Republican Party be more fractured? And that could spell some challenges and trouble for also how the whole country governs as well.
Well, I think if you just look at the Republican Party and looking at them, I think they all have presidential ambitions. Mm. So how they choose to act, you know, that will be driven by that, I think, at the back of their minds. But interesting things to monitor, to look at, and I think we'll be looking at the first 100 days of Biden administration very closely, because if you ask me, those days are very important. He has goodwill, which he should not lose, so he can basically roll out all the legislation that he needs to get America back on track. But up next, we're going to find out why Bank Negara stayed pat with their overnight policy rate at 1.75%. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.